Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
Thank you very much. Woo! Hey, how exciting is this? In church on a Sunday morning, people of faith, people of hope, people of power, that's who you are. Blessed, approved, absolutely loved by God. He's smiling in heaven this morning because you're here. He loves having fellowship. That's why he even sent Jesus. We have the big sign out there. Why Jesus? Well, God sent him so that he could recover a lost relationship with you. And man, one of the worst things on earth is when you're estranged from somebody you love. And you think, oh, what can I do? But they won't come, they won't turn or whatever. But then the day that that actually happens, how good is that? When somebody you haven't talked to for a long time, somebody who you fell out with, somebody who fell out with you, somebody who was offended, and time passes and it sort of melts away, and then you finally meet each other. And it's an amazing thing when that wall comes down and you're able to embrace again. Tears flow. Wow, I tell you what, tears were flowing. And Jackie was sharing that. What a story. What an awesome story. To see people's lives getting transformed every week in every one of our congregations all around the world. Like there are thousands of people coming to Christ every week in C3 churches all around the world. And that's because of you. Because you guys have been so sacrificial over the years, so committed, saying we're going to fight the fight, we're going to get the gospel out there. There's all kinds of forces against you, but you keep turning up, you keep doing it. I feel like something good is going to happen to you today. I feel like something good is going to come into your world. I feel like something big is going to happen for you today. Something bigger than you've ever had before. I know a breakthrough is coming. I've been singing that and I believe it. I'm not just going to sing it. I'm going to believe that I know a breakthrough is coming for you. You might say, well, how could it happen? I lost my job. How could it happen? The doctor said this. How could it happen? That's because you start to believe God. Don't believe the report of the world. Believe the report that's in the Bible. The Bible says, I have healed you through my stripes. I've brought you peace through my cross. And I've brought you healing in Jesus' name. Take it from God. Say, I receive it. I get it now. I'm going to take it this morning. And there are miracles in church. Every week we come here. Don't think there's just songs and a message and a couple of announcements. There are miracles in this place. Every time we come together, there are miracles waiting for you to reach out and to say, I'm taking home with me something that God has prepared for me. We sang it earlier. You prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You prepared a table for me. What's on the table? Well, there's healing here. There's blessing here. There's breakthrough here. There's peace of mind here. There's mental health. There's deliverance. There's freedom. And a table can be prepared there. And I can reach out to God and say, you know what? I'm going to take it home with me. This is takeaway food right here. We don't just do, you know, a la carte. We do takeaway as well. And drive through. Amen. So you're going to drive through here, stop and pick up your lunch of healing, your lunch of miracle. Come on, break out of your thinking. Break out of your negativity. Break out of that place that you've been in. Say, today I'm going to take it. Something good is going to happen to you in this place today. Something big is going to happen to you in this place today. Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't rise from the dead for no reason. He rose from the dead for you, so that you could have the breakthrough, so that you could have the miracle, so that you could have healing. And in Jesus' name, I prophesy victory and deliverance and freedom in this meeting today. In the name of Jesus, I will not tolerate the devil having any part of anybody's life in this place. You're a child of God. You're a kingdom person. You're a child of the covenant. And in Jesus' name, we prophesy blessing, healing, victory, miracles, breakthrough over every single person. In the name of Jesus, we bind every evil thing that tries to stop and blockade the blessing of God. We prophesy healing and blessing in Jesus' name. Oh, come on, sing to God. You know, I feel so much of that healing virtue in this meeting this morning. I believe that just about anybody in here could reach out. Some of you stand here with doubts in your mind or with negativity. It can range from, why would God do anything for me? I'm not worthy. It can range from, I'm insignificant. It could be, I've done wrong things in my life. God's not going to help me in any way. It could be any one of these things. I want you just to switch on your faith and overcome that and say, you know what? I'm just going to believe. I'm going to believe in the grace of God. I'm going to believe in the forgiveness of God. I'm going to believe that He's bigger than any of the condemnations or the accusations. If the devil can condemn you, he knows he's got you in his ring, and he'll fight you in that ring and defeat you. But if you know you're justified, drag him into your ring and say, I'm justified, buddy, by the grace of God. No one in this room can get saved and can be right with God on their own merit. Our best goodness is still a million miles from the perfection of Christ. Only one person has reached that level, and his name is Jesus. And he has imputed to you freely the same life that he has. He has given you right standing with God. By the grace of God, reach out and claim that. Stand boldly before the throne of grace this morning so that the devil doesn't short circuit a miracle coming into your world. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, let healing come into so many of the lives that are standing before you here today, who are reaching out for the blessing and the healing and the power of heaven. In the name of Jesus, I command healing to flow here today. Lift your hands, would you? Father, right now, let the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace and the anointing of the living God heal these people in their digestive tract, in every area of their lives, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you. Give the Lord a great clap offering. Thank Him. I got to tell you, the greatest miracle of all is a transformation, though. Like Jackie shared this morning, a young person like that, I think it's that's the future of C3 right there. We can do all we can to pray and believe God for these young people. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Thank you, band. You guys are amazing. Give the band another big hand, would you? Guys, when we clap, we really clap. Amen. Give the band a big hand. You know, as we come into this series, we design series themes out of a collaboration with major ministries and leaders in our church and decide on how we're going to progress through the year. And so at this time of year, coming up to Easter, thinking about presents, why Jesus is the title of this theme. And as I was thinking about this, we thought peace would be one of the reasons for Jesus coming into the earth. And that's such an awesome topic. And it's more than a topic. It's a quality of life. It's a state of being. It's a condition of mind. It's a temperature of spirit. It is called serenity. It's tranquility on the inside. It's so that you could say, when people say, how's life for you? You say, it's well. Everything's good. I'm at peace. That'd be a rare thing for just about anybody to say in the world in which we live. And one of the reasons why this is such a good element of what Christ can bring into our world is because no one else can bring it. You can't get peace. You can't go down to a shop and buy it. You can't get peace with God any other way other than through Christ. And so why Jesus has in the backstory, why only Jesus? Why Jesus being the unique person he is who can bring unique qualities that all of us are searching for and looking in 1,000 different places for? Why Jesus? Why do you present Jesus? Because he is the one person who transforms a chaotic mindset, a turbulent heart, into peacefulness. The devil can't give that. You can't get peacefulness out of a chaotic person. You can't get order and serenity and tranquility from a restless, uneasy, never-ending abyss of torment. You can't get it from there. Jesus is the only person in the universe who can put peace into that troubled mind, into that troubled heart. If you're watching online, some of you might be feeling there that, man, here I am in this difficult, isolated place. I'm telling you, if you can reach out to God in the middle of this sermon, in the middle of this message, you're going to find peace comes into you. The Hebrews use the word shalom for peace, but it means far, far more than just peace of mind. It means prosperity of your whole life. So when God invokes shalom on you, he is saying peace on your family, peace and blessing on your medical conditions, peace and healing to your emotions and to your broken heart. Peace and life comes into your world. When God came into this world through Christ, he says, I've been anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach peace to those who are far off from God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring deliverance to people who have troubled minds. And you know, we think sometimes that that's those people who are yet to receive Jesus, but I've met so many Christians who still haven't even begun to possess the things that God has got for them. That's why Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your inner man would be opened, that you would see what is the riches of what he has given to us. Because I think we've taken one step into the kingdom and most people stop there and say, whoa, I'm saved. And then fight all kinds of battles, struggle with all kinds of difficulties that you don't need to if you would just take another step and possess the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Take another step and possess, I've been crucified with Christ. Take another step and say, I'm forgiven permanently through the blood of Jesus, and just keep possessing pieces of the land. Sometimes God will let you have a battle simply so that you'll get up and fight. Because when you start fighting, you exercise muscles that you wouldn't otherwise. And then you start to fight for a piece of the territory that you've never had to fight for. But now, because you're living under a condemning spirit in your thinking, you think, I can't get close to God. I can't get anywhere near him. But then you get a hold of a scripture like this, Romans 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, you got to love that verse. I love the tense that God speaks in. He speaks in past tense. Therefore, having been, it's in the past, I've been justified. So now I have peace. I have a permanent condition of peace because in the past, when I asked Jesus, I got justified. To be justified is sort of like just as if I'd never sinned. It's like everything is blotted out. You are made right. Even when you were wrong, God calls you right. There's a scripture which is crazy. I mean, how amazing is grace? Too amazing to believe sometimes. Because he says he justifies the ungodly. And I have found myself sometimes feeling guilty about something. And the Lord says, what are you doing? And I'm thinking, well, I'm kind of pleasing God a little bit by feeling bad about something I did that wasn't quite right. And he goes, what are you doing in guilt? I sent my son to take that guilt from you. And this is just plainly dishonoring to the sacrifice of that son of mine. If you hold on to something that I sent him to die for, would you let it go? And so when I sing the song, I surrender all, I'm not sort of thinking of, oh, I'm letting go something positive in my life so that I can just have something negative. Like, oh, I've got this nice home or whatever, and I'm just surrendering it over to you, Jesus. I guess I'll be in a caravan for the rest of my life. Oh Lord God, I got this great job, but I surrender it so I can be a missionary to the pygmies or something. You know, it's like, not that that'd be totally negative, but all I'm saying is that we sometimes think, I surrender all, I'm holding out on all the good stuff and so that God can get me to do the bad stuff. And that's not how I'm thinking of it at all. I'm thinking when I'm singing, I surrender all, I'm surrendering all my guilt so I can live justified, because that will bring glory and honor to God. I'm surrendering all my negativity so that I can live in victory rather than just keep myself in a negative, self-pitying place, thinking that that is somehow a better place to be than to live in victory. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace is an outcome of faith. It's a result. It's a fruit. So when you start to believe, you start to get peaceful. Okay. This is kind of important. Sometimes we think peace is compromise. Like, if I can just reach a compromise, if I can just accommodate and tolerate, then we all live at peace, because you've got your position, I got my position, but let's just halve our positions and we kind of get into a peace. That never works. The peace of accommodating. Look, okay, I'll just accommodate for this problem in my life. Devil, will you leave me alone if I just stop? Okay. It's not going to happen. The peace that God brings is because he has completely crushed the enemy. In Romans 16, I think it's verse 20, he says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. He is the God of peace because the one trying to create the war is completely defeated. No compromise, no terms of agreement, no toleration, no accommodation, a complete victory. Don't get nervous about words like war and crushing and all of that. God's a man of war, and Christianity needs to be a whole lot more masculine in Jesus' name. We need to know that we are in a fight, and you have weapons. This is how I fight my man. How do you fight your battles? You fight them with the one idea in mind, and that is to win. So even when you're walking through and you feel like, oh, I can't go on, I'm going to give up. Oh, my mind's going to collapse. My emotions are all over the place. How am I ever? Just keep walking. That's your fight to take another step. Come on, keep walking. You think, oh, no, God's against me. I'm so guilty. No, take another step. You haven't quite gotten that full enlightenment of justification in there, but you will do as you keep the battle. Because as you make a decision to take another step, God will empower you. He will empower you to walk through your valley. The power comes when you take a step. God cooperates with us and we cooperate with God. We move together. He needs your decision to empower you. And as you keep making that decision, he's going to keep on empowering you. Man, this is good. You know, the fact is that the Bible says there's not going to be any peace at all to the wicked. And as long as we stay in the place of being one of the wicked, I'm sorry, no peace is coming. And as I said before, the message of the gospel didn't just come to people who were outside the kingdom. When Jesus said you must be born again, it wasn't to a person who was afar off from God. It was said to a person who was meant to be quite close to God. His name was Nicodemus. He was like a religious leader. And Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. And so Nicodemus started a journey, and it travels through Scripture. You see him later on. He actually gets born again. And there are moments in our journey with God, if we don't deal properly with a moment where we stumbled, we're going to find ourselves ill at ease, still troubled on the inside. And the difference is, let me say this to you, the difference is whether we repent or defend ourselves. If we defend our position and we're convicted about something we did, and we go, well, you don't understand my circumstances, and you've justified yourself in a negative position. But the moment you say, okay, I repent from that, that's the first thing, I confess it and I forsake it. Those three things, that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. And if I only had one message in the universe, in the whole world to preach, it would be that. Because once a person makes that decision to not defend their position, but saying, I am going to repent from that, I'm going to confess it and turn from it, then the blood of Christ and the justifying power of God is going to reach you, and peace comes to that troubled heart. I can't give it to you any other way. That's called salvation. That's called healing. That's called. But if I defend my position, no. You don't understand. My parents, you don't know my background. Oh, all the things that just explain and justify and solidify me in this position. There's no. I can never stop doing this. I'm just stuck with this condition. And I don't see it as a sin. I see it as a sickness. Now I've misdiagnosed it. I've covered it up. I've camouflaged it. Now I'm going to be living in dispeace because I'm troubled about my life. But listen to me. If you would, if I could just get in front of every human being on the planet and beg them, just say, God, I'm sorry. Just say, I repent. Just say, I confess it. I'm guilty. I'm not going to blame anybody else. I'm not going to blame the government, parents, church, anything else. I'm sorry. Then God will pour grace into my life, pour power and healing. He will pour it into you, justify you, and peace comes, a peace you never knew was possible to have. It's like you don't know how thirsty you are until you start drinking a drink. And then you can't stop. You go, and your brain goes, yeah, I'm really thirsty. And you drink the whole bottle. Anybody ever done that? Yeah. Well, that's like this peace. You don't know how aching the soul is for that rest until you taste it. And when that comes, you know that you've met God, because peace is his signature. The devil can't leave it. No human can leave it. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. And that peace is wholeness of thinking, wholeness of heart. It is mental health. It is emotional health in the inside of your life. You know, there's so many things I could say about this. And you know, when I started this message, I thought to myself, I think I've written a book about this. And I rang up somebody. I said, did I write a book about peace? They said, yeah, you did. And so here it is. Yeah, you can get it out there. I'd forgotten, age, right? But there's too much for me to cover in one 30-minute sermon about this. But I would urge you to get a hold of this, because I talk about a whole wide range of areas to do with the peace of God. I mean, that Jesus even talks about the normal little worries we have. I love God so very much, because he gets involved in things like talking to you about what you eat. He says, why are you worried about what you eat? Gluten's not going to upset you that much, amen. 5 years ago, fat was bad. I read the other day, it's good. 10 years ago, cholesterol levels were, they're all the rage, like you're going to have a heart attack. Now, it means nothing, apparently. I don't know. I don't know what to believe. These guys change their minds. When I was young, the earth was like 3 billion years old. Now it's 150 billion years old. I mean, yeah, I guess you can just change your mind when, if your commercial product isn't matching up with your science. I don't know what motivates all the changes. I am new research and experts in here. And Jesus, what are you worried about? It? What are you worried about your clothes for? He says, don't worry about what you wear. God will look after you. He says, don't even worry about your height. Can you imagine? Here's the Son of God come from heaven, and he knows that you worry about how tall you are. So he says, don't worry about your height. Wear high heels. Put some stilettos on. Even the woman could, Here's Jesus addressing your world of worry. And he says, please stop worrying. Just stop. That would be, to you that feels, I can't do that. What would I do if I didn't worry? You could pray. Really? Yeah, well, why pray when you can worry? I mean, listen to me. Worms are going to eat you when you're dead. Worry eats you while you're alive. Same vibe. You are getting eaten up on the inside by a thing called worry. And in the New Testament, you got this couple of people who are just brilliant contrast, two sisters, Luke 10:38. As they went and entered a certain village, a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, I'm going to pray for people in about 6-7 minutes for peace to come to your mind. God says, my presence will go with you and I will give you peace. You know God is with you when you feel peace come upon you. You know, when I was a kid and I would have a nightmare, I don't know about you, but I'd go down the hallway, climb into my parents' bed, and now I could go to sleep. What is that? It's the presence of a bigger person, of a father, of a mother, of someone else just there. When you, this morning, go up the hallway and climb into dad's bed and the father's there to say, hey, I'm here for you. Rest. Have some sleep. You might think having a sea change or having a holiday or buying a house in the forest is going to give you peace. It might give you a certain kind of peace in the outside world, but in here, the real turmoil is something that cannot be purchased or arranged through a change. It is something that comes through his presence, taking up residence in your heart. And that's why we need to spend time with him this Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Be here just to spend time, 55 minutes in the presence of the Lord. And then at Presence Conference, if you haven't signed up, be in there. It's when you receive a peace from God, anybody would say, there is nothing on earth worth sacrificing this for. There is nothing in the universe that I would give in exchange for this peace. Because this peace puts you all together. But we live without it in a distracted age. We live without it in so many anxious moments. Luke 10:38, they entered a certain village. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, sat at Jesus' feet, heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about so many things. But one thing is needed. Mary's chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha's the kind of girl who dusts the cheese in the fridge because everything just has to be perfect. She's got plastic on the couch. You know that? It's just take your shoes off at the door. That's her house. And Mary, her sister's a hippie. She's a spirit dancer. She's just like, I love Jesus. He's so amazing. She's got braids and beads and tattoos and, you know, like plays the acoustic guitar. So they're kind of not really similar. Martha has a schedule every day for, you eat mince on Wednesdays, you have sausages on Saturdays. I mean, it's all laid out. She sees, as she looks out the window, Jesus coming over the hill. And Jesus never travels alone. He's got about 70 people with him. He's got his entourage. He's on an evangelistic campaign. Here he comes, walking down. This is the house he stays at. Martha sees it. She goes, no. She's, oh God, no, he didn't let me know. There was no text message. Did you get it? No. So she just goes crazy. She rushes out to the garage. In her mind, she does a quick project sequence management sheet. And she gets, yeah, get the tables out, get the potatoes on, get the... She's got it all happening. She's rolling out round tables, putting up the trestles, putting up the table, going out. She's like lightning, man. She's moving so quick. Rushes up the stairs, puts her hair in curlers. It's curlers days. And apron. And of course, she's got a nice little dress on. And she's got her flats on until he arrives. Then she'll put her heels on. So she's rushing up and down. And she goes out of the kitchen, peels 100 potatoes in like 5 minutes. And it looks out the window, he's nearly here though, and she's got the piece. She goes into the refrigerator, gets in the freezer, pulls out a turkey, pulls out a chicken, pulls out a ham, which is pretty liberated for Jewish people, and pulls out, you know, she's getting all this stuff, throwing it into the microwave. She's got three microwaves, she's going, oh God, now get the gravy, get that, and the steam's coming out of the kitchen, and she's rushing out now, getting white linen tablecloths, putting them all on the tables, now getting all the cutlery. She's fast, this girl. She's getting the servants. She's yelling and screaming at servants. And she's going like this. It's like streak lightning. You can't even see her. So then she's doing one of these rushes from. She looks around, and there's her hippie sister playing the guitar, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she's just, I love you, Jesus. This is how I fight my battle. I surrender. You know when you're working hard and somebody who should be helping you is not helping you? How your attitude just stays so wonderful? Poor thing. No, it goes south. Quickly, you're in the deep black abyss. You're in the pit. You're going, what the? And you say a word you shouldn't say in church, you know? Is she doing there? So, she's got this troubled head that just makes her hate her sister. And she says, do you think, here's the point. Do you think she's going to talk to her sister about her? No. Her attitude has not only gone south about her sister, it's gone deep south about Jesus himself. Do you not care? Don't you love me, God? Why don't you send people to help me do this thing? God, why didn't the church get behind me? God, why doesn't Pastor Phil think about, you know, doing that? God, why doesn't the other Christian do that? Why don't people do what I want them to do? Because you're not God. We're all committed to doing what he wants us to do. And if we're smart, we'll flow in with him. But she is upset because she's working so hard. Now, a works-based Christianity is always going to end up with a very bad attitude towards God. Performance-based living is going to end up with a bad attitude. You're better to enter into the grace of God and live by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, rather than force your life, flow your life. Moving with God is not forcing things, it's flowing. Learn to flow with that river, that life of the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the riverbanks of that river, and you're going to find yourself empowered. So by this time, half her curlers have fallen out. The mascara, you know, she's got smears of gravy and potato and ding, ding, the turkey's gone off over there in the microwave. This steam galore filling the house, coming out of all the boiling potatoes. And he says, Martha, Martha. When he repeats your name, people, it's not going to be good. Duck. Martha, Martha. You're so troubled about so many things. Mary's chosen the good thing. She's just in the house worshiping. She's gone to presence conference, baby, you know. I know you thought you couldn't have the time. But Well, maybe all that kind of thing. Get some help. Maybe if you just go down there and sit. Yeah, but what about my kids? Whoa. I'm here. I'll look after you. Yeah, I don't know if you really will. Not sure. Sometimes. Turn your faith on. Connect with the power. He says, Martha, Martha, you're so distracted. Distraction is a bad way to live, people. You're only half living, if that. You know, when you're in a meeting and everybody's on their phones or something, you feel like nobody's really there. They're only half there. That's how God feels when we come into the house and we're distracted. In our heads, he's saying, with all your heart, with all your soul, in an undistracted manner, come into my presence. I'd love to spend some time with you. He says, Martha, Martha, you know, a cup of tea and a piece of toast will be fine. She starts crying. The mascara is all the way down her apron. She's hair's in a mess, you know, and she's just feeling like now a little silly. But I can guarantee you that Jesus just hugged her right there and held her quivering little frame until she just calmed right down. And then he gave her a guitar and said, sit down with your sister and let's just have peace. I want you to be a peaceful person, not to rush through life, but to walk through your world with a heart for God and a peaceful mind. Lord Jesus, here today, I pray for every one of our people that the peace of God that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds, will come into our world. Father, that as we spend time in your presence, we'll know why Jesus, because he's the only one who could bring peace to the human race. And all the reason for the strife without is because of the strife within. And I'm praying that, Lord God, we'd be able to be healed of the strife within so that the climate of contention and conflict all around us would cease. You make wars to cease. Be still and know that I am God.
Thanks for listening. You can order any of Pastor Phil's resources at philpringle.com or at c3store.com. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions you have made and the great things God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.